We are going to learn tonight that of the fruit of the Spirit, the first manifestation of that fruit is found in the love that God puts in the heart of His child as we are walking in the Spirit. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God because He laid down His life for us. Now, we perceive the love of God through Jesus Christ. The world perceives the love of God through us as we are filled with the Spirit.
This is Pastor Paul Chappell on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you for joining us for today's podcast. It's my prayer that the Bible teaching and preaching you are about to hear will be a blessing to you in your Christian walk, and that because of your time in the Word of God today, you will draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ.
We opened the Bible this morning and we saw a man by the name of Paul, Paul the Apostle, with his partner Silas. And they were apprehended simply for casting a demon out of a young woman. They were accused of a crime. They were accused of being troublemakers. They were unjustly accused. Perhaps in today's vernacular, it could have been called a hate crime, this matter of being against the Wiccans, this matter of being against the so-called trend of the day. And Paul had cast a demon out of the young woman and deprived her and deprived her masters of their income. And for being a man who stood against the devil, he was cast into prison. He was there without real cause. He was there having been beaten and having been placed into stocks in the inner prison at Philippi. We saw it all this morning in the morning message. But what we also saw in Acts 16 and verse 25 was that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Even in the valley, God was good. Even in the dark time, God was there. Why is it that some Christians in their dungeon time find a way to praise the Lord? And why is it that at other times those same Christians, or other Christians in contrast, do not find a way to praise the Lord? What is the difference? And I really believe tonight the difference is found in one's relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit that comes from God Himself. It is the fruit that illustrates the fact that we are connected to the vine. Why is it that some have the joy of the Lord in their trials? I remember years ago, a lady in the choir, she was a lady with blonde hair, perhaps 45 years old. She was slight of stature. She sat in the middle of the choir and she stood to sing, and she sang somehow with a constant smile on her face. Constantly smiling, constantly joyous. I would go out and visit people after having visited our church, and they would say, "The lady in the middle of the choir that sings with such vibrancy, is that one of the pastoral staff wives? Is that lady on the staff of the church? What's the situation with her? She just is so joyous as she sings." Her name was not Jane. We'll call it Jane. Little did they know that Jane was a woman whose husband had left her a few months prior for a younger woman. Jane was now raising her two children without any job or support or finances. Jane had moved from the beautiful home where she had lived with her husband to the small apartment in a difficult area. Jane was going through the time of her life, but she stood in the midst of the choir with heaven on her face and in her heart, and she sang praise unto the Lord. How? Why? The Holy Spirit of God was showing the fruit of God in her life. Now, the deeds of the flesh are mentioned in verses 20 and 21. The deeds of the flesh are done by a person's own efforts, whether saved or unsaved. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variants, emulations, etc. These are the fruits of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit, on the other hand, is produced by God's own Spirit in the lives of those who belong to Him through faith in Jesus Christ. And the fruits of the flesh are individually produced by fleshly appetites and desires from one's life. They are produced one at a time as one yields to the flesh, to the world, and to the devil. But the Bible speaks here in verse 22 of the fruit of the Spirit in the singular. That is, we're not going to study the next few weeks about all the different fruits of the Spirit and how to conjure them up. What we are going to study is the fruit, and the fruit is given to us in the singular, and that helps us to realize that while some of these may be more evident in your life or mine at different times, they will all be present when the Holy Spirit is filling your life. They will all be made manifest as the fruit of God in your life and mine as I am yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. How many of you believe the fruit of God was manifest in the Philippian jail through the Apostle Paul? I think when you're singing at midnight in jail, something's going on in your heart that's from God. Now, 1 John 4:16 says, "And we have known and believed the love of God that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." We are going to learn tonight that of the fruit of the Spirit, the first manifestation of that fruit is found in the love that God puts in the heart of His child as we are walking in the Spirit. 1 John 3:16. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us." Now, we perceive the love of God through Jesus Christ. The world perceives the love of God through us as we are filled with the Spirit. Madeline Murray O'Hare vanished in 1995. Many of the young people here would not necessarily remember the fact that this single atheist woman fought and fought against the name of God and the work of God and the Ten Commandments of God. And she fought and crusaded to have any mention of God removed from public place. Madeline Murray O'Hare was an avowed atheist. She disappeared in 1995. Sometime thereafter, her diaries were found. And in her diary, there was one phrase that was written over and over again, several times a week. This particular phrase was written in the diary of perhaps the most renowned atheist to ever live in America. And this is what it said: "Somebody, somewhere, please love me. Somebody, somewhere, please love me." Did you know that we live in a world longing for love? And that God, through His Spirit, wants to show His love through you and through me to this world? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Tonight, I want to take these next few moments and speak to you about this first manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, love. And that is, in this next few moments, we will spend the entire sermon speaking about love. Someone says, "I thought this was a fundamental Baptist church. You're supposed to speak about the Bema Seat judgment and the White Throne judgment and all things judgment." No, we're to preach about the whole counsel of God, and God is love. And I want you to see with me tonight, if you would, in the first place, the meaning of love. When God says the fruit of the Spirit is love, what exactly is being spoken of? First of all, we define it in the language of the Bible. The meaning of love is given to us in three simple words. There is, first of all, the word eros, which speaks of sensual love. That particular word is not found in the Bible. It is a word that is given to describe a fleshly kind of love. By the way, young people, be wary of puppy love. It can lead to a dog's life. That fleshly kind of love that often leads someone into a relationship that is not of God. There is a second word that is a Bible word, philos, from which the word Philadelphia is derived. and from which the word philanthropy is derived. And that word speaks of a social friendship kind of love. It's a wonderful thing to have Christian friends and brotherly love. And I know it sounds a little different to someone perhaps from a different background when we say, "Hey, how you doing, Brother Salazar?" And we speak of someone in the term of the brother or sister in Christ. But it's all right to be biblical at church. Now, I don't expect you to go tomorrow to your unsaved boss at Lockheed and say, "Hey, Brother John." He may not understand that. But we are brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a third word, and that is the highest level of love, which is agape, divine love. Agape love is the deliberate effort made with the help of God to never seek anything but what is best for others, even if they seek what is worse for us. Like a mother who gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning for the needs of her sick child, not because she feels like it, but because she has made a commitment. She has made a decision to love. And because she has made a decision to love, agape love is seen through her. If your love is an emotional love, if your love is a when I feel like it love, then you are a very selfish giver of love, one who gives only when there is the expectation of a return. But I say to you tonight, the mother who gets up with the 5-month-old or the 5-week-old, and the mother who is cradling that child has nothing to give save perhaps the affection and the joy of the child's presence. But a mother makes the commitment because of agape love. And I would remind you, that is the love that God has manifest for you and for me. For we had nothing to give Him, and yet God loved the world. And so we see love defined in language, but it is also defined in the Scriptures. The Bible teaches us concerning love that God is love. 1 John 4:8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Jeremiah 31:3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." That word everlasting means from vanishing point to vanishing point, there is no measuring the love of God. How many of you tonight thank God for His love? And you must understand it is shown to us at the cross of Calvary. His love is an everlasting love. John 13 and verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end." Now that's the love of God. It never stops. He loves you until the end. And He stays with you. And He cares for you. He loves them all the way. Now, emotional love will wear off. But God's love, the Spirit-given kind of love, the fruit of the Spirit love, does not wear off. Sometimes I've had men come into my office, and maybe they're there with their wife, and they're having marital trouble. They'll come in. I've had men say to me, "I don't love her anymore." I've had women say, "I don't love him anymore." And I've had them say, "I can't love him anymore." By the way, normally that's because you're loving something else. You should have never let something else replace your spouse. Now say, "I can't love him." I often ask the same question. Are you saved? Yes. Does the Holy Spirit live in you? Yes. Well, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, it's not a matter of you can't love. It's a matter of you won't love. Because the Holy Spirit can love through you, the most unlovely of objects. God's love is not an emotional love. I heard about a husband who was coming out of anesthesia after his surgery. His wife was sitting at the bedside. When his eyes fluttered just a little bit, he opened his eyes and looked up there at his wife, and he said to her, "You are beautiful." Flattered, his wife kind of continued the vigil, and later he woke up again, and he said, "You are cute." She looked at him and said, "What happened to beautiful?" He said, "The drugs are wearing off." That's how some people express their love. When the euphoria is there, everything is fine. But there comes a day when the kids are coloring on the walls and the diapers are dirty and you cannot pay the bills and there is a problem at work and the stress begins to mount. And if all you have is euphoria, you are in big trouble. That's why the Bible speaks against the unequal yoke. in the sense of marriage. God intends for spirit-filled people to habitate His home. The meaning of love, we're talking tonight about the agape love, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Notice, secondly, the message of love. Turn, if you would, in your Bible to the greatest message ever given, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as we study the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in the word love and in the action love. And the Bible speaks of love in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Some of you men, by the way, and some of you wives as well, have been a tremendous testimony to me and to this church family in your bearing and your enduring and your loving that is obviously from the Holy Spirit of God towards your family. This is what true love does. Verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, God knows that our relationships are more important than our accomplishments in life. And the Holy Spirit of God helps to strengthen and build relationships in the home and in the church. And He begins by challenging us in the matter of love. And so let's take a moment to see, if you will, how God wants love to be shown in the context of the Christian life. Notice, first of all, the helpfulness of biblical love. As we look at the message of love, we see that love is to be helpful if it is biblical in nature. Notice in verse number 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is patient. Love is patient, that is, slow to anger. I've always loved the definition of this word, macrothermos, slow to boil. And here we see a good definition of love being patient. The term suffereth long speaks about your ability to wait on someone. Fellas, be careful if you're to the point where your wife just exasperates you all the time. Ladies, where your husband just exasperates you. It's a sure sign that you need to spend time with the Lord and seek the fullness of the Lord and empty of yourself that you might love in a patient way. Someone said, to dwell above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. To dwell below with those we know, well, that's another story. Now, we can talk about heaven, and heaven's going to be wonderful, but did you know that God wants your home to be a little place of heaven on this earth? A place where there is patience, that we might have the Spirit of Christ. One woman said, my husband is so temperamental. She said he's 90% temper and 10% mental. Now, let's not be the type of men that just at the drop of the hat, we're off into orbit and in anger and frustrated in every situation. I think of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. You've read the story. And how that Stephen was being stoned in Acts 7:59. And he called upon God saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice and said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I mean, even as the rocks were coming against his body, even as the blood was coming out of his body, even as his death was now very imminent, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And it's no wonder when you read a few verses later in Acts chapter 9, as Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus, and as the light came shining down upon him, and the Lord Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I believe the pricks that were coming against Paul as he rode down the road that day were the pricks of the Holy Spirit of God. As he remembered what he saw a man named Stephen who did not become filled with hate. He was not filled with anger. He was not always on a banny rooster kind of an issue. He saw Stephen, even when he was dying, forgiving and loving. And I'm telling you, the world needs to see that kind of love every single day. Love is patient. Romans 12:17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Recompense no man evil for evil. I trust tonight we understand love is patient. President Abraham Lincoln had a rival by the name of Edwin Stanton. Stanton was as mean towards Lincoln as you could possibly imagine. Everywhere he went, he spoke of Lincoln as the original gorilla. That was his term for Abraham Lincoln. The original gorilla. When Lincoln was elected president, they asked him to fill his cabinet. One of the cabinet positions was the Secretary of War. Lincoln chose Edwin Stanton to be his Secretary of War. Someone said, why would you choose Stanton? Lincoln said, because he's the best man for the job. At Lincoln's funeral, Stanton stood and he said these words, here lies the greatest leader the world has ever known. Abraham Lincoln's non-retaliatory spirit had won out. Abraham Lincoln's love had won the day. You know, there are some battles you could win. You could prove your case to your wife. You could prove your case to that stupid man you married. You could prove your case to the boss at work tomorrow. Or you could love. And you could be patient. And perhaps win their heart for the cause of Christ. Love is patient. Secondly, love is kind. As we see the helpfulness of love, love is kind, verse number 4 says. Meaning, to be serving and to be gracious. My brother Stephen is pastoring a wonderful church that they planted there with the scriptures about 10 years ago down in the San Diego area. He called me this past week. He said, I was wondering if he could help me with something. I said, what is it? He said, my next door neighbor said to us, he said, we've been witnessing to them. We've had them to our house. They've been to church. And they said, we want to be members of your church. I said, well, that sounds great. What's wrong with that? He said, well, they're living together, not married. And he said, I know that in that situation, according to the Bible and our church constitution, they can't just come and be members of the church. We would have to immediately approach them on the matter. But he said, also, I love them in the Lord and I want to approach it properly. And I shared with him some scriptures and some ways to help them lovingly know that they were wanted and accepted, and yet to also know that they needed to be right according to the Holy Bible in the matter of this issue concerning their living situation. And I appreciated the heart that he wanted to take the right stand, but he wanted to have the right spirit in taking the right stand. One of the things that we have tried to share by word and by example, as God has allowed us to be with other pastors and as folks visit this place, is that we can take the right stand, but we must always do it with a loving spirit and speak the truth in love. Why? Love is kind. The Bible says, finally be ye all of one mind, 1 Peter 3:8, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And so we see the helpfulness of love. But notice secondly in this message, the humility of love. The Bible teaches that love is not jealous. Love is not anxious against other people. And when love sees someone that is successful, love is always happy for their success. Love is thankful that God has blessed them. And I say to you tonight that jealousy is not a moderate sin. It's not like jealousy in your heart is something less than some other kind of a sin. Many men and women who've had jealousy in their heart towards someone's children, towards someone's promotion at work, towards someone's possessions, that will often canker until the point that they get frustrated and their Christian testimony is ruined. And many times out of the abundance of their heart, the mouth will speak filled with jealousy. The Bible says in Proverbs 27 and verse 4, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before jealousy? I think of Cain and Abel. And I think of the fact that Abel had offered what God required, a blood sacrifice. And by the way, he still requires a blood sacrifice. But Cain had his own way of going about things. And Cain said, I'm going to bring from the fruit of the garden and I'll make a sacrifice of carrots and beets and watermelon and whatever else he grew. And he made that little sacrifice. And it was not acceptable unto God, just like works are not acceptable to God in this present age. It's always been by the blood that God would be pleased with the sacrifice for atonement. But God said, now I'm pleased with Abel's sacrifice. And yet Cain became jealous of Abel. Cain became angry towards Abel. And the first murder in the Bible was recorded because of a jealous heart. Oh, would we take note of it tonight? The humility of love. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not one to sound out on one's own behalf. Love is not puffed up or arrogant. 1 Corinthians 4:18. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Oh, tonight, arrogance is big-headed, but love is big-hearted. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's not about telling what we know or what position we have. It's about serving and showing the love of Almighty God. We see the helpfulness of love. We see the humility of biblical love. Notice, thirdly, the holiness of biblical love. Verse 5, if you would, true love, the Bible teaches, is not rude. And I want you to notice that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. The Scriptures teach us concerning love. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Oh, tonight, do you see it? Love is not to be rude or to seek its own. It's not easily provoked. Love does not harbor evil. You see, resentment keeps books, but love keeps no record of those ills that have been done. Love is patient, kind, and forgiving. Now tonight, the fruit of the Spirit is love. But I wonder, is there a helpfulness in your life? Is there a humility? Is there a holiness in your life? This is the meaning of love. Notice though tonight, not only the meaning and the message, but finally tonight, the manifestation of biblical love. The manifestation of biblical love. Now, if I understand the fruit of the Spirit, the teaching here is that our lives are to manifest God's love each and every day. Christians should be God's love with skin on, manifesting His love in this society. Let me share with you how love is manifested. First, our love is manifested through giving. Love is manifested through giving. Love is meeting the needs of another they cannot meet for themselves. And love is manifested through giving. Let me share some things that we should give as Christ-like lovers. First, we should give our time. Give our time. I read the story of a teenager who got tired of reading stories to his little brother. And so he decided he would record some of his brother's favorite stories on a tape recorder. And then he would give the tape recorder to his brother and say, now, when you want to hear this story, press this button and you can hear the story. Well, the little guy tried it for a while and the older brother said, isn't that great? The little guy thought about it, said, no. And he looked at the tape recorder and said, it doesn't have a lap. You know, there are some things in life that can't be duplicated. One of those things is just your time. Giving your time. Giving, secondly, your communication. 1 Peter 3:8, finally be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. You know, God wants us to express our love to our family. God wants us to communicate our appreciation. God wants us to communicate our love. We can give our time. We can give our communication. Thirdly, we can give our forgiveness. I want you to turn, if you would, in your Bible to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. The manifestation of love. Our love is manifested through giving. Have you given your wife time? Has there been a time lately where you took your daughter or your son or someone that you're ministering to and just spent some time? Have you given communication to say, I appreciate you, I love you, I don't take this for granted? Have you expressed that? Have you given your forgiveness to someone who perhaps offended you? Notice 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. I want to tell you something about a Spirit-filled church. A Spirit-filled church is not known for speaking in tongues or having a great rock band. A lot of people say, do you have praise and worship in the Spirit-filled kind of a way? That's not the manifestation of the Spirit-filled church. I'll tell you the manifestation of a Spirit-filled church. The love of God. An intense, loving spirit. The manifestation of a Spirit-filled family or Spirit-filled church is when someone offends you, you forgive them. When someone didn't do what you thought they should do, it's not something that causes anger in your life. But you're able to forgive them because you love them. Love is displayed through our giving, our time, our communication, our forgiveness to one another. And may I say this finally tonight? God's love was displayed through giving, was it not? There's not an honest Christian here tonight who doubts the love of God. If you are saved tonight, you may sometimes wonder about your family. You may sometimes wonder about other people, but you don't have to wonder about God's love because it was sealed in blood. For God so loved the world that He did what? He gave. He gave. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, let's look right here. What is it tonight that God wants you to give to someone? Is it the verbal expression of love? Is it your time? Is it your forgiveness? I've pastored long enough to know that every once in a while someone will come in and their visage has changed. Their countenance has dropped. Sometimes it's a bad day. Sometimes it's a migraine headache. Sometimes they're ticked off at something. And God says, love lets it go. And love bears all things and believes all things and hopes for all things. Wednesday night we had a very unique message concerning the chapters of life and not letting the chapter become the whole book. And I believe one of the reasons that could be possible is because of love. Giving forgiveness and giving love. I was preaching not long ago in a church and I sat down next to a man. I walked in. I was the second speaker on the service program. I just walked in and sat on the third row next to a fella, cowboy boots, Wrangler jeans, had on one of these handkerchiefs on his neck with a little thing strung around it, and not because it was Western Day either. And I just sat down there and sat next to him and shook his hand and sang the songs, listened to the preaching. On the other side of him was apparently his wife, and I wasn't sure at that time, but I just sat there and sang and heard the preaching, and then it was my turn to stand up and preach. And that night, for some reason, I told the story about Brother Mark Lawrence. I just talked about Brother Mark coming down here and coming to leadership conference and getting on fire for soul winning and getting on fire for the things of God and how he had such a vibrant witness. And I didn't try to get emotional or anything. I don't plan that, but I suppose I had some tears in my eyes as I preached that part of the message and talked about missing my buddy. and that type of thing. After the service was over, that cowboy walked up to me with his wife. His wife said to me, "Pastor Chapel, I want to introduce myself to you. I can't remember her name right now." She said, "I knew Mark Lawrence." She said, "I'm a veterinarian, and I had done some work over in that part of the state years back on the Lawrence Ranch." She said, "The strangest thing happened a few years ago." She said, "Mr. Lawrence came over to our place where we live here, and he knocked on the door. And he said, 'I'm just going to everyone that I've ever met, everyone that I have an address for that I can remember. And I'm just coming to tell you that when I met you before, I didn't talk to you about the Lord. But I'm trying to go back to everyone now that I've known and make sure that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And I just came,' I think it was a 4 or 5 hour drive. He said, 'I just came over to talk to you about, do you know if you died that you'd go to heaven?'" And the lady said, "That was several years ago." And she said, "He showed me from the Bible how to go to heaven, and I got saved." But then she started to weep. She said, "But the best news is this." She said, "My husband, he wouldn't get saved that time. But," she said, "I kept praying for him and praying for him. And Mark said if I'd keep praying and have a right testimony that maybe someday he'd get saved." And she pointed at her pastor, Brother Umber. She said, he went to our house and invited my husband to come. And just a few months ago, my husband got saved. He was standing there, tears coming down his face. And he didn't know all the lingo, but he was so glad to be saved." I thought of that verse, "He being dead yet speaketh." The love that was sown by that man was still reaping a harvest, even though he's in heaven with Jesus tonight. I wonder if there isn't someone here who could ask the Spirit to help them be a better expression of God's love. I wonder if there isn't a husband here tonight who could say, "Lord, I want to have your filling. I want to be a Spirit-filled, God-honoring giver of love. The fruit of the Spirit is love." I wonder if there isn't a wife who would say, "Lord, I want to love my husband in the Spirit-filled way." I wonder if there isn't someone here tonight that you have someone you work with that's so annoying. And in your flesh, you like to give it back. But I wonder if there isn't someone who'd say, "Lord, I want to show them a Spirit-filled love tomorrow. Help me to express and to show that I'm attached to you, and I want to show them what you are all about." The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is giving, praise, encouragement, help. Love is giving and meeting the needs of another. It's not about taking or receiving. It's about giving. Who does God want you to give to? And who does God want you to express His love to? And who is it that might be loved, if you will, through your testimony to the Savior? The fruit of the Spirit is love.
Thank you again for taking time to join us for today's podcast. I trust your heart has been encouraged and challenged from the Word of God. If you have further questions about the Word of God or today's lesson, feel free to contact me at LancasterBaptist.org. Also, if you're not already receiving our daily devotional, log on to dailyintheword.org and subscribe today for a daily devotional that will come right to your desk. A word of encouragement from God's Word that will help you each and every day. And finally, if you're looking for more resources, Bible study tools, or books that will help you in the Christian life, you might visit strivingtogether.com. Striving Together Publications exists to help you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for your hunger for the Word of God. May God richly bless you.